Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome to another episode of the Ruby After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Volume 5, Episode 9, A Perfect Storm. And guys, we also have a very, very, very special guest calling in studio tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I never, ever, ever get tired of this opening.
It's a solid opening.
Oh my gosh, we got a light show and everything. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. We're here to talk about Volume 9, Volume 9, we skipped forward. We're talking here to talk about Volume 5, Episode 9, A Perfect Storm. We don't want to waste any time, guys, because we have a very special guest on the line. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left,
Mark Donica. Hi, I'm Mark B. Donica. You find me on Twitter on Mark B. Donica.
To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Stacey Shuttleworth, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and all over the net at Stacey Shuttles.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiajay. And to my left,
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We are going to be keeping an eye on, which hashtag do we want?
I've got both. We've got questions both on RWBYABTV and RT Reviews.
Excellent. We're going to be keeping an eye on both of those hashtags. And both Mark and Katie have you guys covered on the live chat. In case you have any questions for our very special guest calling into the studio tonight. So happy to introduce Samantha Ireland.
Hi! Can I talk now?
Yes, you can. No, you're good.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys? It's so good to talk to y'all.
Yeah.
You almost said see, but you didn't.
I know. I want to.
We're super excited to talk to you because back at RTX, you told me about this little Western thing that you were working on that you were trying to shoot before it stopped being too hot. Wolves Inside. Tell us a little bit about that project and how it's a crowdfunding. It's a short film. Let all the folks know if they don't know yet, if they've been living under a rock. Let us know a little bit more about that.
Okay, sure. So Wolves Inside is a short film that I wrote and I will be directing and producing and, as well as I'll be in it. And, but it is a female-led Western that takes place in the late 1800s of West Texas. And, it just kind of follows this one day that happens to these people. Basically, the synopsis, an elderly woman and her granddaughter encounter a dangerous stranger, and in one fateful night, they must all come to face the wolves that walk among them and the ones inside themselves. It was kind of sparked from the Native American parable, The Tale of Two Wolves. If you know anything about that, they believe that there's two wolves fighting in us, and it's a very beautiful tale. Anyone's ever interested in reading it, you can find it all over online. So it kind of sparked from that. And also just, I love West Texas. It's kind of been a part of my, I don't know, like my DNA, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And I love Westerns. I love all kinds of Westerns too. And I just never felt connected to, I rarely felt connected to the women that I would watch in the Westerns. A lot of them are tropes, and unfortunately. Also, there's just not enough for women. There's a lot more recently about three-dimensional because, I don't know, I feel like we get written as women kind of either a Madonna or a whore. Like, there's never an in-between. And I just wanted to write compelling three-dimensional characters that I saw myself as and other people, and it's kind of developed from there. And it's like a revenge story. It has all of the, you know, the little all the subgenres a part of that, but it's a modernized Western. It's going to be very dark and gritty, but I love it. And we have 85% of the crew are women, 50% of the cast are women, and women hold all the major positions in the production as well. So that includes writer, director, producer, DP, all of the crew except for just two people that are PAs. That's it. Like, everyone else is a woman. And we're really excited. And we're going to shoot on location in Terlingua, Texas.
Hell so, yeah.
That's kind of my long spiel about it. So, but yeah, we're crowdfunding right now. You can find us at seedandspark.com. scenespark.com/fun/wolvesinside. Had to think about it for a sec. It's taken over my life. But yeah, so that's where you can find us and you find more information about it. There's a teaser for it and you get to hear me talk about it all again. So
I love the teaser. Just the short little bit of the Spanish dialogue at the top is so, it pulled me in immediately. And I'm so into it.
And
good.
as far as the crowdfunding goes, there are incentives for Rooster Teeth fans out there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, there's a really fun one. It's for $50, you can get a special message recording from me, from either Nora or the Flower Scouts or CT. Somebody asked about CT, but wow. I wouldn't have a voice filter. So, like, FYI, if you wanted to have it with the helmet, I don't know how to do that. I'm not a sound engineer. I can't do that. So, but I've gotten some really, really cute messages. People have used messages for, like, their alarm clock.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And for their ringtone, like, answer the phone. It's been really fun. So yeah, if you're interested in having Nora or the Flower Scouts talk to you, people have only asked for Nora so far. I'm surprised. Why wouldn't anybody want the Flower Scouts?
Well, I would totally want the Flower Scouts as my alarm clock, telling me to wake the fuck up.
All three of them yelling at you in succession. Yeah.
Wake up.
That's the main issue. Is I think people don't want all of the cursing that would come from the Flower Scouts just in public. Just answer the fucking phone, and then
oh my god, that's my mom.
I have to take her.
That's your mother. Oh, I'm sure there's also the concern of, oh, those are drug lords calling.
Oh, yes.
I'm so sorry.
Los diablitos.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. I'm personally curious because the Western genre is also one that I sort of have a love-hate relationship. I love a lot of the great stories that are told from some of the classics like The Searchers. But on the other hand, as you pointed out, Westerns aren't particularly kind to women. So there are some rare exceptions. So I'm wondering, as far as the look of this film goes, are there any Westerns in particular in terms of that you're like pulling as far as inspiration goes?
I'm also looking at ones that aren't even like people would technically call a Western. Like I think There Will Be Blood is a Western.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Something like that, Hateful Eight, a little bit, so a little bit more modern. The Keeping Room is kind of in there too, just because it all happens in one place. And but yeah, the looks are going to be, it's going to be very chiaroscuro. So it's a lot of shadows. It's not going to be Technicolor. It's not going to be spaghetti. So we're kind of going more that route. It's gonna be something completely opposite of the short film I did last year. It's like just completely opposite. So I'm really looking forward to it, just to get kind of down and dirty, to be honest.
Yeah, and you had some recent casting announcements as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Nick Stevenson is going to be in the cast. He is amazing. He's in Orange is the New Black, the first two seasons. He's in The Sun, The Long Road Home. There's a few other things I can't remember off the top of my head. He's fantastic. He's a producer as well. And then Electra Avalon, who is just on Day 5, Season 2, she's also joined the cast. And she is so amazing. She's so wonderful. She's perfectly cast for the role, too. Like, when I was writing this character, I said, oh, it would be so great if she could do it. And then she said yes.
Those are the best stories.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Really quickly, one of our followers, Halcyon Traveler on Twitter, wants to recommend the new Netflix show Godless and says that the female characters in it are pretty awesome. Not a question, but a comment, but we'll take
it. Godless. Yeah. I was going to start watching it, actually. What kills me is that I saw the trailer for it when it first came out a couple months ago, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I was like, everyone's got something. I mean, it's not at all the kind of story that we're telling, which is great on our behalf, but we are going to do a limited series after the short film based on these characters. So I'm like, oh, God, so many things in common. But I've also heard that it's really not about the women.
I've heard that too.
More about the male characters, like the three of them or something like that. Like the Jeff Bridges character and some two other guys.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like there, I think it was like the second episode or first episode. I just saw it like kind of out in the internet world that somebody had written down all of the, they transcribed the episode, and 75% of the lines were to the men. And so, yeah, I haven't watched it, so I can't speak on it, but the trailer really definitely made it look like,
yeah,
like the women were badass, but mm-hmm. I don't know if they're the main focal part of it. So that's kind of good for us.
Remember that Netflix show? This does it better.
It does it more.
Are about the women.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not so much of what the show is actually about, so much as you trick your audience into thinking it's about one thing, and then you give them something else that you didn't promise, and that's not cool.
You came here for the women, but you're staying for Jeff Bridges, right? No, I'm here for the women.
No.
First off, I love Jeff Bridges, and that's
the thing.
Absolutely. It's like, why? But I remember seeing the first trailer and I was like, okay. And then the second trailer like really got me kind of hooked. But I've just been so focused on the campaign and pre-production that I've been barely watching any television. And I think like the last thing I want to watch right now is a Western. but at the same time, I want to see what it's about, because they are empowering women in those roles, no matter what. Having women in the West is empowering because they're rarely seen. I'm interested. Thank you for that suggestion, because I know that there should be strong characters at least in there. I don't know how much there are about them, but I'm going to definitely give it a look into. So thank you.
I do have a question about, and maybe if it's obviously we don't want any spoilers, but one of the things that I find very, very intriguing about looking at the West in terms of like as a time period is something that's kind of overlooked in history, is that a lot of those Western towns were built by women. And nobody ever talks about that, because everybody just remembers, you know, the John Wayne cowboy desperados that were hilariously inaccurate. So I'm wondering if, you know, Western towns being built by women is in any way sort of tied into the plot line of the film.
For the film, no. But for the series, it might be a part of a storyline for one of the characters. We're going to try to focus on, for West Texas, there was a mercury mining out in Terlingua that was an active mining area, which kills me. Godless isn't a mining area again. So it's like, oh, my God. So many things. So we're going to focus on, and we're also going to focus more on, like, the demographic of people that were out there, too. So we are, like, we have Spanish people that we're following, and so that might be a part of it for the series, because for the series we're going to do a voluntary writer's room, and we'll have people write episodes, but I'll be the showrunner. I know where all the arcs I want them to go, but I know I'm not as strong of a writer as other people are, so I want to use people that are extremely talented at it, and I want us to collaborate. And if we go through something a little bit stronger, more on the town part, I would like to be able to go to a town, talk about a town, how it's kind of ran by the women, because men are gone so often. I would love to be able to talk about that. I see it in one of the storylines for sure. So, because I've been like playing with them for quite some time now. So, yeah, that's it.
And
no spoilers.
Feel free not to answer this question, but with crowdfunding, folks want to know what everything is going to. How much have you put anything aside from the crowdfunding campaign towards the series part of it, or is this all for the short?
This is all for the short film.
Awesome.
It's insane. Money goes into filming a short film. That's not even all the money we need. I'm putting in my own money as well. So guys, give us money. Less coming out of my pocket, but the more we get out of our crowdfunding means also we can pay people a little better. I'm not fond of how I'm paying them now, but I'm paying them. That was important to me, especially for something that we were going to shoot on location. This place doesn't have no cable. It barely has Wi-Fi. Like, we're going to be having people be with us throughout this whole thing. And it's going to be, I plan meticulously. So I think we'll have a smooth as we can shooting, but anything can happen, and I just want my crew to be happy. I want my cast to be happy, I want to feed them well. I want to, you know, give them shelter. And I don't want it to be shitty. Like, no, excuse me, but I don't want it to be that. And because I don't work for free anymore. Mm-hmm. So why should I expect other people to do it for me? Like, when you start work, when people are starting out, like, I try to help out as much as I can. But just with a kid and that stuff, it's harder for me to do just creative work. So I just, that's why I did a crowdfunding. And also, I think it's kind of like a rite of passage for filmmakers, because you learn how to beg, borrow, and steal. And you really need to focus on what is absolutely necessary for this to see it through to the end, to make it a successful film or web series or feature. You don't know. You never have a clue until you start really getting to the nitty-gritty of money. So this is all going to the short film. This is for paying people, feeding people, gear, production. You know, it's a scarce kind of scene that we're going to be looking at, but we still need to have things that can portray that time period, mm-hmm. costumes and special effects makeup. Like I said, it's really gritty. You're going to have lots of blood, stuff like that.
Sweet.
And so, I won't say anymore, but you know, like there's going to be, we got to think about weapons, all that stuff has to portray it as correctly as we can for the money that we have. You really have to look through what is absolutely necessary for this. And you have to think about that when you're writing too. Don't write a film that you can't do. This is something we can do. This is easily a film we can do. It's just got to make sure we're doing it the right way. And I've got a team that I feel like we're going to be able to pull that off successfully.
We're super looking forward to it. If you're watching right now live, this is on the 20th. There's 7 days left to donate. That's seedandspark.com/wolvesinside. Give what you can. If you can't give anything, spread the word. There might be somebody in your life that's like, you know what? I want to see a women-driven production and a women-driven Western. And you never know. You might get some people that are willing to donate quite so much.
And you know, and also, hold on. I'm going to plug real quick.
Please.
Seed and Spark is amazing. This is for anyone that wants to crowdfund for film. It is only geared towards filmmakers. It is a great personal crowdfunding platform. They have workshops for you to get you prepared. They have PDFs for you to follow along. They give you the tools to make a successful crowdfunding campaign. Mm. It is a lot of work, but I push anyone, if they're willing to, if they want to do it for themselves, do it. And also, we have about 260 something followers. That does not cost money for you to follow us, which we get. So we hit the 250 mark, which is amazing. So we're eligible for cash prizes and packages from Seed and Spark. But if we hit the 500 follower, ooh, we're able for like even more. And it's like insane. So that's kind of our goal right now, too, is to get 500 followers in the next 7 days. So we need to add about, basically, we need to double our followers. So if you're interested in following us and you can't give financially, do not worry about it. We just want you to be a part of it. We want you to be a part of our audience. So go to seedandspark.com/fun/wolvesinside. Make yourself an account, a Seed and Spark account. It's free, just like all the other accounts that we all make for everything. Mm-hmm. And just press the follow button and you're golden and you're set, and you would help us tremendously.
You can even log in with Facebook.
That's it with my plug. So,
Well, thank you. I'm super excited about this project. We're gonna move on to tonight's episode of Ruby. Please feel free to chime in, and if we get any more questions from the chat, we'll send those your way.
You know. Yes. So talking about this set of this episode that we're covering, this is one of those episodes where I was not expecting the interactions that we got to kind of go down in the way that they did. Raven is a character I can never figure out exactly what she's thinking and exactly what sort of cards she actually has on the table.
She's still a terrible mom.
Just awful.
I feel like every time she's on screen, I need to just kind of put that out there. Like, hey, it's the bad mom.
Definitely not going to be winning any Mom of the Year awards anytime soon.
Go ahead.
No, you first.
What I'm wondering is, Vernal did ask her a question. Your daughter's going to be in the middle of all this. and she says that's not going to change anything, we'll have to see when push comes to shove. Because they're saying, oh, yeah, no, my daughter made her choice, whatever. And then there's, she's about to get murdered by this person I don't like. And I'm speaking entirely in hypotheticals here. That was not a spoiler. It's not even out yet.
She could have Yang already in mind for her plan. There might already be a Yang chapter of her plan. So it's like, it's not going to matter because she already thought about that eventuality.
Possibly.
But what I was going to ask is, definitely not Mom of the Year, but does Raven being ready with that clapback on the Evil Four make her more appealing because she's against the bad folks? Or is she still a terrible person?
She straight up asked them to murder her brother, so she's not real good at family.
But the descriptors, though. Like the descriptors of a disgraced Elysian scientist, two lost kids, and somebody who's with the name Fall. A name
so apt that she probably chose it herself.
I did love how
beautiful.
Snatch them edges.
I did love how Watts was like, yeah, I can't argue with any of
that. I was also a doctor, but you're good.
Also, I'm a doctor, but yes. You were like 98% there, but I just can't leave that 2% hanging. He's a Ted. Dang it.
He's a constant corrector. Sam, what's been your thoughts on Raven this season? Because we've seen a lot of development from her.
Yeah, she's so intriguing to me. I don't know. For the longest time, I was like, I don't know how to feel about this lady. And now we know more, and I'm like, I don't know how to feel about this lady. Like, I'm starting to kind of like her. Like,
begrudgingly.
She sticks to her gun, you know what I mean? And I don't think she thinks she's a bad mom. I think she, you know
what
I mean?
It's just tough love. Like,
she's not a villain in her own brain. Mm-hmm. She thinks she's, you know, she's giving her child, you know, she gave her all of that information and she said, you take it or you leave it. And she saved her before, right? When mm-hmm. she was in trouble. And she said, this will be your last time. Hell no, that's not going to be her last time. There's no way. Like, she does have that instinct in her, but yes, she's still like pretty terrible when it comes to like being a mom. But she's so intriguing to me, and I love Anna's. I love her performance in it, and I've been so curious about her for so long that I'm really liking where we're going. And I love Vernal. She's fucking cool.
I love Vernal.
Oh, cool. I was like, who's that lady? So I'm just intrigued. And I'm starting to like her just because, I don't know. I think
you can like her as a character and still go, wow, you're terrible.
Terrible.
I think the thing that shocked me more, even more than her saying, I want my brother dead, was this moment when Vernal is questioning her and Raven says the exact same thing that Yang said in the last episode, and that was, she made her choice. I was like, oh my goodness, like mother, like daughter.
They're like, they mirror each other and it's like, it's just inverted. That's it. Like the colors, that's it. Like there's there's almost no difference to them. And the design about Ruby too just blows my mind sometimes. I love all the connections.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, you're so right. It's like mother, like daughter for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of thought that goes into like, if you're going to have two characters whose color schemes like are that contrasted but are so closely related. Yeah, it's going to be for a reason.
Yeah.
And talking about that, do we think that Raven, when she goes off at the end, that she's actually going to try to warn Crow?
I don't think she's trying to warn him. I think
she's just trying to keep an eye
checking
on him.
Up on watching over. Like,
what is he doing? What is he up to?
All right.
I got some schemes. What's going on over here?
And then before we totally go away from the scene, so Cinder's back.
Yeah.
To full sass bucket potential.
Yeah, she is.
Goodness.
She found her voice, and oh, man, did she miss it.
I love how this proposed strategy went from a milk run to table flipping chaos. Like, we could make this the easiest thing possible, or we could make it a complete garbage fire. I like garbage fires.
But that's playing right into Raven's hand, right? Because that's what Raven needs. She needs complete chaos so she can, you know, do her thing.
Yeah, that's true. So that's what we're... For Raven, best case scenario is all these people just end up murdering each other and she can waltz away with the relic.
Standing by Life and Chet says, I was like, there's the Cinder I love / hate.
Yeah. No, she's another one that you just love to hate her. And she's good too. Oh, it drives her nuts.
I think it's fun to finally see two maidens face to face. As well.
I was expecting a maiden fight. I was kind of hoping for a maiden fight. I put a pin in that for a couple episodes down the line.
It's coming.
I can't imagine it. There's no way it's not. Oh, we have two maidens next to each other. They don't like each other. Like, let's do this.
Our team's going to see the fight happening and they're like, I don't know who to root for. That one's with my mom, but that one killed... No, we're rooting for that one. We're rooting for that one.
We're rooting for the one that didn't directly murder one of our friends. Good, good.
Sounds
about right.
That's the choice.
Let's go with that.
Yep.
For sure. Although that does beg the question of, like, who in this scenario... I'm not going to ask who would win in a fight because we don't know. We haven't seen...
We're gonna.
Either of them in action. Will we?
Will we?
Kind of thinking what we do know about them, Cinder's been training with Salem, who is definitely a strict teacher, to say the least. But Vernal has had years to develop her technique. Who do we think would have an advantage in this fight?
Sadly, I'm thinking Cinder. Mm-hmm. Unless Vernal can go for straight up rainfall with her powers, then maybe, yeah. But if all she can do is wind, unless you have a strong enough wind, it just tends to make fires bigger. I say in California.
Yep. Well, Autumn did everything. That's like, remember from that flashback fight, she did ice, she summoned leaves and wind and fire. She did everything.
This is true.
Yeah, so that's what I would say.
And there's also the fact that Cinder has had some very focused combat training, whereas I would imagine Vernal's has been more day-to-day survival, run and gun. I doubt she's had a lot of focused combat training with her powers, because who knows how to train her in magic?
Largely trial and error, probably on her own little corner, you know, practicing what she can.
Raven's like, I could teach you how to turn into a bird.
I could teach you how to live.
Can you do that?
But for me, that's it.
For me, it's the Kingdom Hearts thing. Like, you go through these characters that are self-taught, and you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then you get a game where someone's taught by a master, and you're like, Jesus!
I think it's going to be like Muhammad Ali. I think, if anything, Cinder's going to be like, I have all of the power. And then Vernal's like, whatever, and just dodge and... take a couple of hits and then get back up and be like, you done yet?
Is that all you got?
Yeah. Like, I think Vernal has the training to last throughout the fight, where Cinder's going to be like, fireball? That's all I got. My name's Cinder. What do you expect?
Camille in chat says Cinder would play dirty.
Sure.
And we really need to keep that in mind. But there's no saying that Vernal won't. She's kind of been living with bandits
on the street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. I think she'd fight dirty too. Yeah.
So this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So, provided it happens.
Here's the question. Before we move on, I do have a question, because the one thing they point out is that Raven insists she wants to stay out of this conflict no matter what. And everybody else is quick to point out, well, that ship kind of sailed when you decided to harbor the Spring Maiden. What is Raven harboring Vernal because of some misplaced motherly, like, oh, I can't be there for my own daughter, so I'm going to be here for this girl? Or is it simply like, oh, hey, here's a bargaining chip I can use against Ozpin or Cinder, whoever comes after me?
That one.
That's where I'm leaning, but honestly, again, with Raven, I just don't know. Like,
yeah. I don't know what's her end game. I don't know what it is. It's intriguing.
I don't think she knows what it is either.
I honestly think it's just survival. She's gonna have as many bargaining chips as she can, so that I just want to get away from everybody. Take her, leave me alone.
Her end game is having enough bravado to be able to BS her way out of any situation.
As Loco Soldado in chat says, Cinder's semblance is an ever expanding ego.
Yeah.
For all of our jokes about Oz having a giant head, for sure.
Hey.
And the Mercinder.
But yeah, this might have started with her taking Vernalyn out of convenience and a power move and whatnot. And who knows, after a decade or so, God knows how long she's had her, she might actually care now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
true.
It could have started with one and become the other. We don't exactly know.
Yeah. Could be a little of column A, a little of column B for sure.
Yep.
Do we have any other thoughts on Raven's and Salem's crew side of the things before we move on back to Menagerie?
I need more cat fights. They were beautiful.
We're about to get to a cat fight.
Hey. A literal cat fight. Because we get to see Gira in action for the first time.
Before we get to that, though, yes. I want to let the folks at home know that History's critically acclaimed series, Vikings, premiered with a two-hour season premiere that aired Wednesday, November 29th. Make sure you go back and check it out. Season 5 began with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the great heathen army, while Agartha reigns as queen of the Kattegat. Ivar's murder of his brother Sigurd sets the stage for vicious battles to come as Ragnar's sons plot their next moves after avenging their father's death. Bjorn follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea, and Floki, who is suffering from the loss of his wife Helga, takes to the seas, submitting himself to the will of the gods. This season is full of startling alliances and unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings fight to rule the world. Who will rise? Enter the lair of the seer if you dare. Ready your ears for a full-on 3D audio immersion in Prophecies of the Seer. Beware, the audio series is not for the faint of heart. You'll be transported to the world of Vikings, where the seer shares the gods' wishes for the new season. Don't forget, headphones are required for a full 3D audio impact, and you can uncover that at history.com/the seer. If you're not watching Vikings, you definitely should. Let me throw a wonderful actor at your face, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who joins the cast this season. There are going to be 10 hard-hitting episodes. And boy, are we looking forward to this season. If you haven't caught any of it, there's still time. They're not even halfway through season 5. So make sure to check out History's drama series, Vikings. It's a family saga that tells the remarkable tales of the lives and epic adventures of the raiders and explorers of the Dark Ages. Vikings premiered on November 29th and will be airing at 9, 8 Central only on History. Thanks to our friends at History. And make sure you check out Vikings.
It's really exciting whenever there's additional content in the audio format that really takes full advantage of sound design.
Oh, yeah.
I can't.
And this one's gross.
I have nothing but admiration for any audio format that goes above and beyond like that. So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, let's talk about Menagerie, guys. We finally get to see Corsic and Finnick actually do their thing. And
those jerks.
What, instead of just stand around looking vaguely menacing?
And sounding extremely menacing. Let's be completely real.
Credit where credit is due.
We look slightly cultish and talk extremely cultish.
Yes.
Enjoy the Kool-Aid.
I enjoyed getting to see them actually in action because, yeah, it's one thing to see a character stand there and look intimidating, and it's another to actually see them fight. And that's something that the show always excels at.
You realize at this point it's cats and dogs fighting.
I mean, they're
mass
fine.
Hysteria.
No, not living together, fighting.
I mean, technically.
Yeah.
On Menagerie, they're living together on that island. Mass hysteria.
Oh, boy. I don't know why. I think maybe it's because of the actor who portrays him, because he's very tall and he's bald, but I was not expecting him to have hair. Is that weird? Like, under the hood?
I was very surprised. I was like, oh, that's what he looks like. I definitely had that moment.
But one thing we get to see also is actually Gira. And I gotta say, I was like on the edge of my seat because I've been predicting for weeks that Gira's gonna be the one to bite it.
No.
So
don't say that.
I don't want it to be
true. Dude, I've been saying sun.
What? What's wrong with y'all?
Do 20. You know us?
Plenty, and we're running out of time.
But basically, regardless of which one of them is in danger, we get to see them team up, which, regardless of what happens in the future, is a pretty gratifying moment.
I might have to drop my favorite nickname for Sun and Neptune, because Sun's proving to be useful.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Give it time.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's only when he's with Neptune that we have Team Hot and Useless. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. On his own, he seems to be doing okay.
Yeah.
And
he's had so much growth.
And may I say, while watching this episode, when he dropped the, "I won't let you down, sir,"
I, without a doubt, just said, shut up. And then, with which Gira said, shut up. You got it.
I feel it.
So eager to please.
Yeah. Aww. I feel you, Panther Dad.
I'm not going to lie. Because of you, Mark, every time I see the two of them on screen together, I'm always like, don't talk to me or my monkey son.
Don't talk to me or my monkey son.
The only thing you can think at this point.
Shank, shank. Well, apparently people in chat are saying that seeing Gira unleash his claws reminded them of Tuxen. Of all of the callbacks. Wow.
I missed that guy.
Well,
he was there for 30 seconds.
Keep missing him because he's dead.
Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. Back to you, Megan.
But we see them teaming up, which, again, it's super great. But then we move on over to the inevitable showdown for the next episode, Blake and Ilya. And there's... They don't say a word. It's just this epic stare down, and my heart breaks even just thinking about what's to come.
And this is the point where we remind everyone to stay spoiler free because
we can't talk
we
about
don't
that
get to talk
yet.
About next week's episode yet.
But yeah,
so keep it nice in the comments. Keep it nice everywhere. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew that this series was building up to this showdown, but man, I'm not ready for it. That's a lie. I'm ready for it.
It happened a lot faster than I expected, and I'm not...
Well, there's only, like, this is episode 9. We've got, like, 4 episodes left?
I think it's 14 total.
Okay,
from
what
we
heard.
Okay,
we have, like, 5 episodes left. That's not very many.
Fast.
No.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Even I just noticed that.
I mean, our final season finale showdown that they've so nicely laid out for us in this episode is in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well... I think that just about does it for the episode itself. Do we have any final thoughts regarding the episode before we ask Sam a few questions before we wrap up for the night?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I think we're going to have a lot more to talk about next time, which is unfortunate because we're going to have to talk about 2 episodes.
Yeah, guys, holiday scheduling, we're going to have to double up when we get back.
Oh, but we're doing something.
They're not releasing this weekend.
Oh, that's true.
Well,
depends on when they go
out.
Public. Depends on when they put it public.
Yeah, so we're not going to have a full-on Rooster Teeth show, ABTV, next week. Probably the week after that?
Definitely the week after that.
Keep an eye on Twitter. We'll keep you guys updated. But yeah, okay, so I guess that does it for the episodes. Sam, it's been so fun getting to talk to you about Wolves Inside, but we've also had, like, a few fun Christmas episodes as well. One of the things that we just saw that was the Ruby Chibi Christmas episode.
Trying to remember. Oh no, I don't know if I've watched it yet. Oh no,
that's okay. I don't think you had any dialogue other than like.
It was
parody. Are
grunts.
You guys doing?
There was a very very brief cameo from Team Juniper at the very end, but it was a Peanuts Christmas. And
Now I remember. I was like, what did I record? Because it's hard to keep up. I'm not gonna lie. Like Ruby Chibi is like pumping out so much. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so behind on all of these. But yes, Peanuts Christmas. What was it? Remind me, because I remember this.
Yeah, it was.
It was there for a. It was an extended Grinch parody, and then for a hot second, Team Juniper showed up at the end and went, "Wait, what parody are we doing?"
Guys, that was it. I laughed so hard when I read that script. I think that Ruby Chibi is like so. I'm so sorry. My dog wants all of my attention.
No, that's fine.
That's fine.
I have to let him out. Very quickly.
Behind the scenes.
No worries.
He's been pawing me, just staring at me.
Okay. Who are you talking to, Mom?
Pay attention to me.
We had Joe Skype in for Red versus Blue, and his cat made a cameo for a quick second.
Several. So. The cat wouldn't leave him alone.
So with that appearance in that Christmas episode, we also got the Camp Christmas episode, which, sadly, the Flower Scouts were missing, but we completely understand why.
I did not record that one.
No. But how do you think the Flower Scouts spend Christmas?
Oh, that's a good question. baking those cookies for Santa.
Oh, God. Like those cookies?
boy.
Yes, oh, I've been waiting up all night to see what have you got for us. Because we were so good this year. So.
I was going to say, does baking those cookies for Santa put them on the naughty list or the nice list?
The top of the nice list.
Yeah, like he totally thinks we're good girls. It's good. We're good. We're good.
Hell of a con.
God damn. Real Miss K Rose asks, of Volume 5 so far, what was your favorite line or lines to record?
Oh, up so far. Because I did some really amazing ones just recently for the later in the season. Let me think about, I'm going to give it just a sec.
Can I give you one that I enjoyed?
Yeah, you're sure.
They're both birds.
Yes. They're both birds. There was the arm wrestling one.
Yes.
That was so fun. And, did he age backwards? when we were recording it, like, I kind of riffed on it for a little bit. I was like, is he like a Benjamin Button? Like, you know. Obviously, they didn't use it, but whatever. She's been pretty funny, like a good comedic relief this mm-hmm. season specifically. So, yeah, I did some pretty fucking badass stuff. Like, my last recording was, which was my rap. So, I'm really looking forward to the end of the season. I still don't really know what happens, though, to be quite honest. So, like, I just know, like we all say, we only know what we go and record. And, like, I always get kind of caught up with where they're at, but I'm still a little I'm still confused. So as long as I'm watching and not skip an episode and not realize I've skipped an episode, then I'm good. So.
One of the things I really appreciate is how much of the look of the show has evolved, and just seeing Nora, I think most of all Nora's mannerisms and her expressions and the way her hair bounces, it's just the best thing in the world.
I love how, like, her posture now is even, like, she's so much even more childlike, like, the older she gets, like, the way that she's so grounded, but yet playful. It's such a fun balance. I've loved all of her movement this season. I think she's just, I've loved her so much this season. I loved everything though. Like, I'm realizing while I'm watching stuff that, like, just the movement alone of very, very subtle things like a hair or someone's eyes that are, like, from a distance, like getting news, like in a group, like it's all so incredible. It's captivating at times. Like, I was watching it the other night and I was just like, oh my God, like, I can't believe how incredibly detailed some of this stuff is. And yet it's not at the same time. It's a weird feeling. I love it though. It's so good.
It really is.
Well, we're running a little short on time.
Unfortunately.
Do you guys have any final questions for our wonderful guest?
No, not at the moment. Thank you.
No, this has been an absolute pleasure, and we know we're gonna not wait too long to talk to you again, especially leading up to the end of the Wolves Inside campaign and going into that production. But we thank you for spending some of your time and sharing some of it with us and the listeners out there.
Thank you so much. I talked too much. So,
No, you did not. No such thing.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Cannot say thank you enough. And I look forward to, I hope one day there's a flashback episode to where Nora gets her semblance and we actually get to see her getting struck by lightning.
Crazy. Yeah, we wrote it.
That was my favorite line. That was it. That's it. See where she's like, oh, you know, struck by lightning, didn't die. Crazy Thursday. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was it. That's my favorite line.
I hope we get to see that flashback someday.
Oh, my God. Again, do we really need to, though? Because that's a great noodle incident.
But again, Sam, thank you so, so much. Where can people go if they want to keep up with you and up with all of your projects?
If for some reason they don't follow you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
at @Ireland_Sam. Guys, I get that. I don't even remember sometimes. And then on, I'm public on Instagram again, just because why not? You know, I don't have anything to hide. Samantha_Ireland there. And at my website, SamanthaIreland.com. It takes me a while to get back to people though on that. And that's it. That is it. So,
well, thank you so much again. I cannot wait to see the short film. Best of luck with the rest of the campaign. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you soon, Sam.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
This is always so fun. But yeah, we should probably wrap it up for the evening.
Yes, I believe we should. So we did mention that we're not going to be back next week because the studio is going to be closed. However, we are going to be streaming Ruby Grim Eclipse. Woo! We streamed the first half of it on Thanksgiving week when we had to miss that week. And we're going to be streaming the second half of it next Wednesday. So make sure to check that out if you want to watch the first half where Stacey, Megan, and myself traveled through the first part of the game. Go to Inventory Full on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/inventoryfullpt. We have it in the highlights section. You can watch the entire stream. It was a whole bunch of fun. We want to play with you. It's just going to be a big conversation, and we're going to play video games post-Christmas. So make sure to check that out and follow me on Twitter @MarkBedonica.
Stacey, where can people go if they want to follow you?
If you want to check out what I'm up to, you can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, all over the place @StaceyShuttles.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias, excuse me, as well as on Twitch and YouTube @Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. If you want to see Megan's and my reactions to these episodes, the YouTube channel is where that lives.
Don't forget to follow Patrick @P2TheDs on Twitter. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can feed it with the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. Happy holidays, everybody. Regardless of what you celebrate, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. And if we don't see you, a very happy new year. Thank you all so much for watching. Thanks again to Sam for coming on. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Duh. See you later.
Herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.